Yeah, nope, it's in the freezer. Yeah, in the back, yeah, bottom shelf. See it? Okay, all right. I'll talk to you later, okay? Bye. Hello? Hi, Mom. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, no, I thought you were going to Open Arms today. What? No, Mom, I'm getting ready to give a message here at FBC, okay? All right? Okay, I love you. Okay. Can I call you later? Okay, bye. Sorry about that. Facebook, Twitter. Wow. I mean, I'll just take a selfie while I'm out of here. Let me just check my hair. Sorry, I seem a little distracted this morning. Maybe if I can keep these things from falling on the ground, we'll be doing good here. Okay, let's just go with a lot of space. Okay, maybe we should pray. How about that? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father, I just thank you, Lord, this morning for this tremendous opportunity to bring forth your word. Lord, I just pray today for each one here this morning. I pray that they would have attentive hearts and minds, and they would be receptive to your word. But Lord, I just give you honor and praise and glory, and I thank you for each one here today, and I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So, distraction is our topic today, and if anybody saw the clip this week, this was put out that was, I chose Mary and Martha, and you might find that odd because, thank you, brother. Martha has a special connection to me, even though I'm a man, which you're going to find out as we go along this morning. But we're going to start off this morning. We're going to talk about distraction. And it says in Wikipedia that distraction is the process of diverting the attention of the individual or group from a desired area of focus. And my wife said when we were rehearsing this week to slow down and speak. Say it again if you have to. So because that may have been very quick, I'm going to listen to my good wife, and I'm going to say that again, that Wikipedia defines distraction as the process of diverting the attention of the individual or the group from the desired area of focus. I guess a pretty apt description of it. Now that we've identified what distraction means, let's keep that in mind as we venture into the scriptures. So for those of you who brought your Bibles with you today, you can open up to Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and if everybody else could follow along on the screen, that would be tremendous. So let's look at Luke 10, 38. It says that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So let's have a look at that passage. It says, where were they going? The Bible says that Martha lived in a village called Bethany that was located 3 miles from Jerusalem and on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. In John Ortberg's book, God is Closer Than You Think, John is quoted as saying, he says that the implication here is that he would be spending the night there, that the obligation to provide hospitality in the ancient Near East was very strong, that there were no Motel 6s or Shalom Inns, and that travelers were very dependent on the hospitality of private homes. Amazingly, Jesus is willing to be entertained in a home headed by an unmarried woman, Martha. So let's have a look at who Martha is. Well, what do we know about her? We know that she was an unmarried woman. The Bible tells us that she is the elder sister of Mary and her brother Lazarus, and that her name starts with Mar, which I found very interesting when I was doing my research on this, that Mar is the aromatic, and aromatic is used for mistress of the house or hostess. So I was thinking, I wonder if her last name may have been Stewart. It's quite possible. The Bible also quotes her as giving a high level of hospitality. And that we also know that she certainly loved and believed in Jesus. That was evident by her inviting him into her home. and that she also was overly concerned with a lot of details. Therefore, she expected, because she was overly concerned about all these details, that she also expected others to agree with her priorities. So let's put that kind of in today's term. And as I go through this, you're going to kind of see where I'm going with this, because I'm taking a little bit different road on this. So if we were to put Martha in today's way of what she could possibly be like, I kind of looked at it and I thought, well, maybe she's a multitasker. That maybe she, and she'd probably have all the technology. She'd probably have all the gadgets. Can you just picture Martha? She's probably got an iPad, an iPhone. She's probably got it all. And she's probably on social media. She's probably doing the Twitter account. She's tweeting people. She's probably checking her Facebook. But another thing is, of course, she's a strong personality. I expect that she's possibly also, she might be a Fortune 500 CEO. One thing I would think about Martha is that she's a woman that could get things done. So let's go back to the scriptures. Let's move to 10:39, if you bring that up, Dave. I said, she also had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what she said. I don't think that's going to go over too well. So let's have a look at Mary. So Mary is a younger sister of Martha and Lazarus. And I'd say that she's her go-to in hospitality would be more like she'd be talking to the guests as opposed to cooking for them. And I kind of, when I was going through this today, or in the previous weeks leading up to today, you know, I kind of get this scenario because I kind of have a Martha. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who I am as we go on here. But I'm also married to a Mary, and her real name is Mary. And we just had fun working together here this summer together. And I'm kind of the Martha. I'm the one that's in the background. I'm doing all the things, right? And then Mary, she's talking to everybody. So I kind of understand. I can kind of get that a little bit. So the other thing I looked at, she's more about participating than preparing. And she's more of a sitter than a doer. Now, I wouldn't say Gail was sitting. I wouldn't go there. Maybe sometimes, but not that much. But she was certainly talking and talking to people. So what would Mary of today possibly look like in a comparison? And my wife gave me a hand putting some of this together. So if I do some weird stuff, that's why, where it came from. I didn't get that all on my own. So she said. Well, we're talking about. So what would Mary look like today? And Gail said, well, she'd probably be Zen and yoga. And I said, well, how do I present that? She says, do this. And I said, what's that? She said, that's the warrior pose. I don't do yoga, so I wouldn't know that unless she told me. And I said, I also think that she'd be a reflective person or a deep thinker, and she probably likes to go on retreats. And she rears against busyness. That's kind of how I picture that the Mary of today would be as opposed to the Martha of today. But you know, surprisingly, and I get this again, surprisingly, the Bible describes them as one of the best hospitality teams in the Bible. And I can see that. But you know, even though I've given a little bit of a glimpse into the personalities that are Martha and Mary, I really don't think that that's what it's all about. So, as we're going through the scriptures here, we're going to see that. So, Dave, you bring up, this could be the shortest sermon in history, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Could you bring up Luke 10:40, please? Yeah. So it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I have to admit, as I said, that I feel like I'm a bit of a male Martha. Martha, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a chef by trade. And every day for the last 2 months, I've been working with the gliding school. And we've been turning out over 100 and some, for 100 some people, 3 meals a day. So that equates to about 15,000 meals. So, you know, that's really hard to do sitting down. So am I a little bit distracted at times? Absolutely. But my distraction may not be your distraction. So if, Dave, you would bring up this little clip here for Camp Grounded, I want to tell you a little bit about. Now, this is a tremendous thing. I did some research on the internet, and I thought that was just tremendous. Do you know that society today has come up to deal with all of your woes when it comes to distraction with technology and everything. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So if you are distracted with all your technology and all the things going on in the world today, you can go to Camp Grounded. And you say, what is Camp Grounded? Well, if you happen to have a little spare change, say $500 to $10,000, right, depending on what package you choose, here's what you get for your $500 to $10,000. You can spend some leisure time at the, now listen to this, folks, okay, this is very, very important, the first internationally renowned tech-free personal wellness retreat. Now, Gail told me to say this definitely twice because people are not going to get all that. So spend some time at the first internationally renowned tech-free personal wellness retreat. Here attendees, I was wondering why I was having a hard time reading this. This is what happens when you're nervous. Put on glasses. Okay, there we go. It says, here attendees will give up their phones, their gadgets, in exchange for an off-the-grid experience. Imagine, you get to disconnect so you can reconnect. No phones, no clocks, no bosses, no stress. I don't know, well, if I just spent $10,000, I'd be stressed. But anyway, no stress. And most important of all, this is, now listen very closely here, folks, because this is really, really important. No FOMO. No FOMO. Okay, and you're saying to me, what's FOMO? Okay, does anybody here know what FOMO means? No? It means fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. Now, I want you to be honest with me here today, folks. Now, have you ever woke up in the middle of the night because you have your phone by your bedside table, right? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's dark, you're sound asleep, and all of a sudden, ding. Does anybody get up and go see what the ding is? Oh, no. The little come on now, be honest, all right? Okay? Do you ever, when you get up, in the morning, the first thing you do is you pick up your phone and you check, scroll through for Facebook. More hands going up, right? Do you check your emails? Okay, well, I'm just telling you guys all have FOMO. We'll get someone to send you the link on that. If you got a few dollars. You know, when I was thinking about FOMO, for some reason my grandfather popped up in my mind, and is Roger Morrissey here today? No? Curtis Adams? No, because this would speak directly to them. Well, my grandfather had his own version of how to deal with Camp Grounded. It was called going fishing, and it cost him the price of a bottle of Chapman's Orange and an old Henry bar, and that's how he got away from it. He was a business owner for many, many years, so, but that's how he handled with his distraction. Okay, so now let's get to the meat of this. So let's see what Jesus had to say about distraction. Can we bring up Luke 10:41, Dave? And it says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and you're upset about many things. One thing I really noticed about that, is that in this passage, Jesus says Martha's name twice. Do you know there's only two other times in all of the scriptures that Jesus says someone's name twice? If you can bring these up, it's in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And he says it again in Acts chapter 9, verse 4. It says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? My takeaway from that was that Jesus says your name, he wants to get your attention. So now let's look at the last passage, what I really want to focus on. In Luke chapter 10, verse 42, it says, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Note that in that passage that Jesus says that only one thing is needed. Only one thing. Personally, friends, the one thing I feel that God calls for us to do is to be still and know that He is God. God knows that we have things to do. He made us. He gave us skills and abilities to move and to serve others. But the one of the hardest things that we have trouble doing is to be still and to recognize that He has everything in control. So the one thing I'd like to ask you folks today, are you exhausted? Do you lay awake at night worrying? Are you tired of your already too full week? Are you working 40 hours a week and you like it so much that you're doing it twice in the seven days? Well, I've been there, and there's no joy in it. So if I can give you a piece of advice, I'd like to change my life. I'd like to tell you a little bit of my own personal history. You see, when I moved here with my family back about 17 years ago, I moved here to take over a business in DeBert. I told my wife, I said, you know what, it's a great opportunity, honey. It's going to be great. We have to sell our job. Here's the thing. I have to give up my job. You got to give up your job. Aaron's got to move to school. And we've got to sell our house. But it's going to be wonderful. All you wives out there, that would be exciting if your husband came home and told you that, wouldn't it? So she trusted me. She did pray. And she had peace on it. So up we did, and we moved down here and got settled in. And then what happened was, which a lot of people do, is I end up not only working, but, you know, it started off with 40 hours a week, and then it was 50 hours a week, and then it was 60 hours a week, and then it was 70 hours a week, and then it was 80 hours a week. And there just always seemed to be more and more work. And, you know, all I heard through that whole thing was my wife coming to me, and she'd say to me, she'd say, honey, she'd say, you know, we just want you to be home with us. We just want you to spend time with us. And I'd say, oh, well, you know what, honey, I understand that. I said, but, you know, I'm doing this all for you guys. Doing it all for you, right? And I've got to put these hours in because, you know, the business will just fall apart if I'm not there all the time. So time passes and keep working, and, you know, it doesn't really change too much at work. It doesn't change your financial picture at home or anything like that. But you know, one thing happened. One day my wife came to me and she said, I'm leaving you. And I said, what? She said, I'm leaving you. I said, you know, if I can't have you home here with us, then I might as well not be together. And you know what I did? I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ at that time. I knew about God. But I fell down to my knees. And I said, Lord, please don't let this happen. I'll do whatever it takes. God started working in my heart. I didn't know that at the time, but He did. And I went to Gail and bent at me, and I said, honey, I'll change. I'll only work what I have to work, but I'll be here for you. And I started to change. I said, okay, the business fails, but I'm going to cut it back. And I did. And slowly I earned her trust. things got better. But you know, the interesting thing that happened through all of that was that while we're going through that, my son wanted to go to camp. This is how amazing how God works. He wanted to go to camp. We didn't know where there was a camp, so we started asking around, and somebody told us about Mount Tabor. We said, well, what's that? It's a nice Christian camp. We said, that'd be pretty good. So Aaron wanted to go, so we sent him there. But there was one really interesting thing about that was that if Aaron was going there, he had to go for the week, and if you couldn't call home. If you called home, you're going home. I don't know if they still have that policy, but I'm sure they probably do. I was okay that with his mother wasn't okay with that. So lo and behold, we dropped him off. We went for the week. We survived. Gail survived. And we went back. And the thing that I found was really interesting about that is that when we got out of the car, you know how kids are in the summertime? You know, it's bright and sunny, and, you know, you get the suntan going on. But as soon as I got out of the car, I noticed something different about Aaron. Aaron was glowing, and I could see that. And I said, Aaron, I said, you know, there's this glowing about you. I said, what's that all about? And he said, Dad, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I said, that's nice, son. I don't know what that means, but that's nice. So God continues to work. So next thing you know, Aaron's on fire for Christ. He's got his Bible. He's studying it from cover to cover. And then he's joined air cadets at that time. And then when he was going away down to Camp Surrey, he's starting to lead other cadets to the Lord until they shut him down. But through this whole thing, Aaron started to want to come to church. And so Sonia Barnhill said, well, I've got a great church he can bring to him. I'm going to go to Faith Baptist Church. And we all said, where's that? Said it was in Great Village, the only church I knew. I'm sorry, folks, I didn't know this church existed back then in those days, but we thought of the church down here in the corner. So anyway, Sonia brings Aaron here. Aaron comes home. He's all excited. They've got a disco ball. And they got great music. And he said he's loving it. And so the next week rolls around. He wants to come back. And Gail said, well, I'll take him. But you know what she said to me? She said, you don't have to come. Of course, being a man, the first thing I said is, oh, well, I'm coming. How long's service? And she said, 2 hours. And I said, you got to be crazy. Everybody knows church is 1 hour. She said, so I'll come anyway. So I come. And I got greeted with all these friendly people, which made me very apprehensive coming up through the thing because there was people smiling in the parking lots. People, I don't know how many people I shook hands and hugged, try to hug you. That's a big thing. And you come up through here. And I got up through here, and I came in. And the thing that struck me the most, the music was as we heard this morning, praise be the band. That was tremendous. You guys did a great job this morning. Yeah? Can we get a hand for the band? Music was tremendous, and the thing that really struck me was that when Pastor Steve was up preaching that day, he said, listen to the words, listen to the words. And you know what? The word that really struck it with me, and I'm not saying because I grew up in a church in my hometown, right? But they never preached evangelism. They preached the word that had the music, but it just had the aim. But there's one word all those years that I had an awareness of God was personal relationship. That's the word. That was the light bulb moment for me. They said personal relationship, and from that time on, God just turned on a switch. And from there on in, I just came, and within a matter of weeks, I gave my heart to Christ. We got baptized together, Aaron and I, at the same time. Amen? Amen. So does God do amazing things? He does. Don't work too much, folks. We don't have to work that much. We don't have to work that much. Do you think God loved Martha? Do you think Jesus loved Martha? Do you think Jesus loved Mary more? No. No. It's not that. It's just that Mary sat and listened. She took the time to sit down and talk and listen to Jesus, what Jesus had to say. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to stop and take the time and to listen to him. Be still. Be quiet. Right? But for some reason, in our human nature, we just feel that we need to be busy all the time and that somehow we have to earn his love. We can't earn his love. He loved us before we were even here, when we were thought in his mind. I'd just like you to take a moment now, folks. I'm going to get Dave to bring up a song here. I just want to quiet things down a little bit. I'd really like you, there's powerful words in this song. And if you would just sit there, you can either just close your eyes, you can listen to it because he's going to sing them, or you can follow along with the words on the screen. But they're powerful words. Will you do that with me? Dave, can you bring that up? Nice song, eh? I chose that because my living room faces out onto a big field. I'm blessed that way. And I've noticed many times that, you know, when there's a lot of stressful situations going on, I marvel that I like to watch the little birds. They go out there and they just flutter to and fro. You know, they peck at the ground and they're just so peaceful. They don't seem to have any worries. They don't have any problems. But we make our lives really, really complicated. We load it up with technology. You know, we spend a lot of time on technology. You know, I don't know about yourself, but I've been at restaurants before where, you know, there's people that aren't even looking at each other. They're just looking at their phones. God doesn't want us to be fill our lives full of clutter. He wants our attention. He wants our He wants to work in our lives. But in order for him to work in our lives, that means that we need to spend time with him. And that's the one thing that Mary got. Martha, she had all these things to do, and I'm sure she had great intentions about what they're doing. Obviously, we need to eat, we need a clean place and all that. But, you know, it comes down to priorities. There's nothing that says in there that Martha could have sat down right beside Mary, and I'm sure Jesus wouldn't have minded. But she was trying to get all these things done, and we do that too. So today, folks, as you get ready to leave here today, Lord, I'm just going to pray for you. I pray that if any of you, you know, God knows your heart, search your heart. If you feel like that your life is full of worry and distractions, all you have to do is just turn those things over to God, and he's more than willing to be there. He's always there. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you, Father, for today. I thank you for each and every one here. And Lord, these things, Lord, we face with them are with technology and busyness and work and commitments and all these things, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would work in each one's heart. Father, that you would draw each one closer to you. And Lord, through what you're doing in and through our lives, Father, that we would overcome our need or our feel to have to fill our days up. That, Lord, that you have everything in control, that we can just turn that over to you. So, Father, I thank you for each one here today. And as we get ready to leave this place, Lord, I just pray for journey mercies for each one and just work in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.